Good morning. Welcome to the Good Living Show. I'm Michelle Thomas. I'll be your host today. And I'm going to tell you, this next program is something so near and dear to my heart. And, you know, we all love music. We all think about music in different ways. But to have music therapy is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we're going to welcome our guest, Rafael Scigmato. Close. Tell me.
Scigmato.
And I did it twice before we got on air.
And you did it correctly.
I still messed it up. So, Rafael, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, see, we were just talking about whether we say something and we mess up. Well, I've broke the ice now. So there we go. So I want to talk to you about music therapy because I've once I read your bio, I was really intrigued by your background and what you've done. I, too, am a musician and have been in many orchestras, and to connect in with music in a different way is always special. So I want to talk about your past, and something I'm very jealous of and I've always wanted to do was play the violin. So,
well, what do you play?
I play the flute.
Ah, the one instrument I cannot play.
Oh, well, I got that one on you, the one instrument. You can probably play all the others. But so talk to me about that. So you were a really accomplished violinist.
Thank you so much. I started in school, normal, 7 years old, and I just loved it. Mm. I just always loved classical music. We weren't really allowed to watch a whole lot of television, but the little we were allowed to watch, like I Love Lucy and Looney Tunes, you know, they use a lot of classical music, and I just absolutely loved it.
Awesome.
So that's where I got started.
So you got started 7 years old playing the violin, and then through school, kind of probably like me, you played in different school things. And
yeah, the pit orchestra, normal high school stuff. And I just saw Peter Jennings do a small bit on music therapy.
Right.
And I think it was NBC, whatever show he was on. And he ended his segment with absolutely no violins. And I just heard that and was like, well, I'm going to show you.
All
and
right.
That was the end of that.
Awesome. So talk to me about music therapy and how, so you got into it from this segment?
Basically, yeah.
That's
kind of a
cool.
Long story, but yeah, that was my, I said, well, that's just, I'm just going to have to do that and show everybody. And so I did. I went, I auditioned and I went to Marywood University.
Okay.
And it was really amazing. It was really amazing. We got a great education. We learned how to play almost every instrument.
Wow.
Drums, timpani, cornet, oboe, bassoon, trombone, you name it.
Well, I played a few of those. I was in marching band and a bunch of other things. So, you know, if you can do something, they put an instrument in your hand and send you out the door.
That's right.
So that's pretty amazing. And then in music therapy kind of led you to the career that you've got and opening your own business and Nostalgic Tunes, right? Nostalgic Notes, sorry.
That's okay.
On here. So tell us a little bit about that and how you led into that and how kind of formed this thing of yours.
Sure. So when I first started, I thought I wanted to work with kids, pediatrics, which would still be nice. But Sister Miriam Pfeiffer was my advisor and our professor, and she had us doing our practicums pretty early on.
Okay.
And so we got a lot of different placements. And we had access to working with older adults with dementia, and I just loved it. I just loved it. So when you go to school for music therapy, it has to be an approved program.
Right.
So it has to be AMTA approved. And once you get your degree and you pass your jury and your finals and all this stuff, then you go and do a six-month clinical internship, unpaid.
Okay.
Once you finish that, there is then a board certification test, which is extraordinarily difficult.
Wow.
Yes. And I did pass first time out. Proud of that.
Very good.
So that's where I started. And my first job I got with Village Care of New York.
Okay.
And my now friend and mentor and coworker, Nettie Harper, who now owns Inspired Memory Care. She's a co-founder of Inspired Memory Care. You know, she was my first supervisor and just really encouraged me, you know, to keep going. And anything that I wanted, for the most part, she would say, all right, you know, go with it.
That's awesome. So tell me about, you started off and you look pretty young. So 25 years of orchestra and then your career here. So when you started Nostalgic Notes, it was to come into facilities or communities with dementia or one-on-one?
I specialize in anyone who's an adult who has any sort of cognitive impairment.
Okay.
So where I find myself is one-on-one in homes, communities. I do some work in nursing homes. So as long as there is a memory impairment, then I feel that I can help someone.
Okay.
So I do have an extra certification in what's called neurologic music therapy. So once you pass the test, you get your MTBC. That means music therapist, board certified.
Okay.
And thankfully in Connecticut here, we do have title protection. So that's always a good thing. Thanks everybody for all the hard work they did on that. And so I do have the NMT certification also.
Okay.
And that's where we would work with folks with stroke, Parkinson's, to help improve, speech or walking, whatever it is that, we're looking to improve, mm-hmm. And I look at quality of life, how can I help this person go from where they are to where they want to go, to where they have a good quality of life, where they can do the things that they used to be able to do or something similar to.
Right, right. So when you come in, let's say you get a call and somebody says, we're not sure whether this is going to help or not, but we'd love for you to come out and talk to us. So do you go in with an assessment?
I do. So like any treatment, there's mm-hmm. always an assessment. Mm-hmm. You must do that because not everyone is appropriate for music therapy. Not everyone is going to respond.
Right.
Thankfully, I have been able to help the people that have called me. But you do have to go in and check and just make sure that they're going to respond. And you know what? If they're not going to respond to me, I know a lot of people who might be able to. Sometimes it's the therapist. Maybe I'm not the right music therapist for them. Maybe it should be somebody else. But no, I always go and I always do an assessment.
So talk to me a little bit about the assessment, because that's kind of an interesting thing. So, you think about assessing when somebody comes in nursing wise or somebody dealing with somebody with a cognitive disability or an issue or dementia or Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's, you've already mentioned those. What kind of assessment, what kind of things do you address?
So I look to see, where does the family want this person to be and where does this person want to be?
Right.
Because they're not always the same. Very often I have found that I am helping people with speech because unfortunately that can, depending on what's happened to them, mm-hmm. can really be impaired. And it's frustrating, especially when you know that you can't get the words out. It's really a frustrating experience for these people, and my heart goes out to them, and I feel really bad. But what I have known is when you combine certain musical interventions and singing, over time, this can improve speech.
Well, it's, that you say that because we often see people who are very, very hard stutterers, but they can sing without any issues at all. So I can see how it would be, the neurological would be able to flow the words out where...
Yeah, and you try to get that to transfer over into everyday life, mm-hmm. right? So I've had several people that have, had a stroke and their ability to speak was impaired.
Right.
And so we start with singing. And my very first job, actually Nettie was there for this, we had this gentleman who had a stroke and he really couldn't talk. They sent him to speech therapy, I don't know the whole background because it was literally my second day of work.
Mm-hmm.
But I just go in there and I happen to pick his favorite song, which was Clementine, because that was the only thing I had memorized. And he loved it. His face turned bright red and he was just singing his heart out. And I didn't realize, what I was doing because I didn't know this man's history. And then later on it came out, we've had a hard time with getting him to speak and now he's singing. And then over time I worked with him. And he told this lady to shut up during – this lady was yelling during
right.
his song, and he didn't like it, and he turned around and told her to shut up. It's kind of funny.
So we talked about that. Let's talk about other things that – so let's get into dementia a little bit and agitation and not just for speech reasons, but I guess for calming too.
Sure. So there's different types of music therapy. Some people, you can do what's called receptive music therapy, where they receive, they sit, they listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of folks who really do prefer that. And then I have other people where I get to try to have them actively participate, as
right.
in they are creating music with me. They are playing drums. They're playing the piano, whatever their preference happens
mm-hmm.
to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't need any sort of musical lessons or abilities to be able to participate and to have a benefit
mm-hmm.
from this.
Wow. Okay. So let's go in. You've done the assessment, and then obviously you come up with some kind of care plan. The same thing?
Yes, care plan. Yep. That's
okay.
It.
And I mean, kind of go over what that is. I'm intrigued because I know what our care plans look like as far as home care, nursing, physical therapy, things like that. But I'd like to hear more about a care plan and frequencies and things like that.
So it really depends. Some people, the care plan is 100% custom to whatever the person needs. So whatever goals, objectives, how we're going to achieve that goal is really dependent on what I receive from the person. You know, I could sit there and say we're going to, say whatever word three times, but if they can only do it once, you're not going to set somebody up for something they can't do because they know most of the time, 99% of the time, they are aware that they're not speaking the way they were, they're not playing the piano the way they did. And so I like to, if I can, make it a challenge, but also somewhat failure-free so that they feel good about it. Because if they don't feel good about it, they're not going to want me to come back.
Sure.
You know? So that's number one. And so the care plans and treatment plans, they're all tailored to each person individually.
Okay. And then you come back once a week, twice a week, once a month?
I like to, if possible, come once a week.
Okay.
Because the benefit is really there. You know, if you let too much time go in between, you start to lose that. So I do have some people I see twice a week, and we have seen an improvement in that, you know. And if I feel someone is not going to get that benefit from an extra session or whatever, then I won't do it, you know.
So that's amazing. So what you're doing, it really is one-on-one. You're not talking about a group thing.
I do some small group.
Okay.
I do have some of that. But I love the one-to-ones. I really, those are, I love all of it, but you can really see the benefits and make the strides and improvements because it's an intense one-on-one session every week. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to get really into the one-on-one session here in a minute. We've got Rafael from Nostalgic Notes. How would somebody get a hold of you before we go on break?
You can go to my website, which is nostalgicnotesllc.com. You can give me a call at 203-512-2988.
All right. You can also link onto our website and we'll have the show and information, but we're just going to take a break. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk more about music therapy. You'll be right back on the Good Living Show in just a minute.
When my husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, his doctor told us that he would soon need care and attention. They also told me it's important that I have support and not be Colin's only caretaker. We found a wonderful solution here in Fairfield County for both of us with Osborne Home Care. Their in-home personal care staff is specially trained to care for people with all forms of memory loss. And Hope, the registered nurse case manager from Osborne Home Care, is so good at anticipating his needs. She is also ready to help if his care plan needs to be adjusted. It's exactly what we both need to manage Colin's condition.
Osborne Home Care is an affiliate of the Osborne, the area's premier senior living community. Visit osbornhomecare.org or call 888-9-OSBORNE for more information. Osborne Home Care, Connecticut, license number 0000933.
Welcome back to the Good Living Show. We've been talking about music therapy, and there's so much to talk about. We've got Rafael Scamato here. She is a music therapist, and there is a lot that goes into music therapy. So not only, we haven't talked a whole lot about her, and she is a very distinguished violinist, but reading her bio, you have really performed almost all over the world.
I try.
That's awesome. That's so fun. All right. Which has then brought you here with experience and, you know, really able to help some of these folks that, you know, we see when somebody is maybe agitated or not having a great day. Sometimes music just immediately calms them. But you're talking about even taking that further and really getting into, you know, memory and cognitive and really helping somebody with their speech and probably connecting dots in many ways.
Well, thank you for that. So in one of my small groups, so it's a clinical music therapy group, so small group, there's five people. Mm-hmm. When you get over that amount, maybe eight, you know, once it gets to be too many people, it's really hard to focus mm-hmm. on each person and keep track of those goals and what we're trying sure. to accomplish. So whenever I do a small group music therapy, it's really small group. And so I do have a group at the Greens at Cannondale, mm-hmm. and we've had incredible results there with their program. And they actually, in combination with the program that I helped design for them, they received the Connecticut Assisted Living Association Best Practices Award for managed residential services in resident care. So it's the first time it's been awarded for a non-medical field.
That is
really exciting.
That is really awesome. And we say it's non-medical, but it's not because we're...
Well, it's not nursing.
Right.
That's what they mean by that.
Not nursing, but we are getting into, for what you talked about, what you actually go through to get the, you know, license is extensive.
Yeah, our board certification is very extensive. It's the hardest test I've ever had to take in my life, wow. as a matter of fact. And we do. We have classes in psychology. We have classes in medicine, anatomy, not just music.
Right.
Not just psychology. It's a long, I think my bachelor's degree was about 150 credits.
So
it's a lot.
You may not know the answer to this question, and it may be something to kind of look up later. How many music therapists licensed like you are there?
So it's funny you use the word license. So Connecticut, we don't have licensure yet. There are states that do have licensure. We are board certified. So the national certification is the MTBC. You can't be a music therapist without that.
So that's what I was trying to figure out what to call it. Certified, but board certified makes
yes.
it sound better than just certified because, you know,
right.
board certified. Okay. That's what we're going with.
It is, and it's very difficult.
Yes.
So there are, I don't know the exact number, but there's a couple thousand. So there's a decent amount, but we're always looking to have more. Well, yes, if you're comparing it to, say, nursing. Yes, right.
Or doctor.
Right.
Or physical therapist.
Right. So yes, we're always looking for people.
Yeah.
You know, to add to the field and enrich the lives of people that we serve. So.
Right. So when you were in high school and you were doing music in high school, this was not on your radar, was it, at that time?
No, not really. No, I think I wanted to study chemistry.
Oh, okay. Well, you got some of that probably in there with your medical part studies.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So award winning, kind of using best practices, showing people how to, you know, do this, how to bring this into a community, but then bring it in on one-on-one, which is what I really want to talk about now, how you can go into a home with somebody and really change their life.
I love my one-to-one visits. I love my groups. I love everything I do. But again, with the one-to-one, it really allows me to really see what's going on in the whole picture. I'm a big picture kind of person. And the details I figure out as I go.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone is, they'll say, oh, such and such is having a bad day. You know, they don't want any of your music. You know, fine. And then I get there and I just chat with them for a little bit. And then they're able to accept the music and their mm-hmm. mood lightens. And that one gentleman actually said to me, you know, thank you so much. I feel so much better.
Mm.
You know, and that's the reason, you know, I do what I do. And then we can also be a resource for families, you know. Who else do I know? You know, what other, if they're in need of an aid, if there's, you know, family right. dynamics, there's all kinds of ways that we can support the families, not just, you know,
right.
the person that we're, you know, looking for. And the other thing, too, as a music therapist is I can't be there all the time, you know. So what can I give the families resources, you know, for the times that I'm not there? You know,
which is really interesting because you think about other therapies, occupational therapy, speech therapy, physical therapy. They might all leave exercises or things to do. So that's great that you can leave something with the family that this is something that is they respond to. This is something that, you know,
I try to give takeaways, you know, it doesn't always work, you know, depending on the situation that they're in. You know, sometimes the person just doesn't want to hear it.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I do try to come up with certain things. There was this one lady who, this was in a nursing home, my gosh, 15 years ago. And you know, she was very agitated. You know, I must have looked like somebody she did not like when she was younger. It was really bad. And I figured, you know, if I play a little bit of music and I give her a hand massage with scented lotions, so like the really nice but smelly ones, she just calmed right down. And she's like, wow, that smells, that's so nice. Thank you. So, and that was a nursing home and recreation, so it wasn't specifically music therapy. But
right.
The point is, you know, there's little things that we can do to help people calm down, to make them more comfortable, you know, just make their lives a little bit better.
That is really cool. And I think about, you know, the situations that we're in oftentimes with caregivers and aides and different people out there, and how, gosh, some of those tidbits are just such a helpful thing. And you never know when somebody is going to, you know, react in a difficult way. And if you can have one of those things in the back of your mind, like, oh, yeah, let's try this, let's try that. Such a huge comfort for the family and for other people working with them. All right, so let's get into a little bit more about your session, if you call it that. Mm-hmm. You've done the care plan. Now you're in the home and you're working one-on-one with somebody. And I know it's all different and I know they're very individualized. And I hate to throw one out, like, let's do a scenario. But I think people respond so well to the stories that you're telling.
Okay.
So maybe that would be a way to show different examples of, you know, if I have seen this work or I've worked with somebody with that. So I'd like to get into some of those stories, if
sure.
you don't mind.
Sure. Great. So I also kind of circling back to where you're talking about the assistants who live in the homes mm-hmm. with them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I love to do is to support them also, because, you know, I don't get the brunt of a lot of the agitation. I'll get mm-hmm. some of it, you know, if they're in a bad mood, which we all have our days.
Sure.
But nursing usually will get the brunt of a lot of it, because they're asking them, take your pills, get dressed, you know, all these things that maybe they just don't want to do right now.
Right.
And I'm the happy music lady, right? I'm the music teacher, so they say. That's how they think of me, you know? And so I don't get a lot of that. And so that's why I do like to help come up with things to help their lives, to make it easier, you know, to help them care for this person that they really do love and care for.
Well, I can see where people would say the music teacher. I don't know about most people, but that was one class that I was really ready to go to all the time, was music class, because you didn't have to write and think very much. You got to sing and do
yeah.
fun things.
Yeah,
so
it was fun.
I would love being a music teacher.
Yeah, same concept. So, yeah. Yes, I have several of my clients call me their music teacher, which is it's fine by me.
Yeah.
And so some people, you know, if we're looking to preserve their – you know, motor ability and fine motor skills in the hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would have them, you know, hold the theremin or tambourine or, you know, play a drum. I have a snare drum. I have a lady actually who requested a snare drum. So
okay.
I called my old boss, Billy, up. I'm like, Billy, I need a drum. He's like, here you go. So I've got this snare drum that I'm schlepping with me and put it together, and she loved it. And it helps keep, you know, those muscles in shape, you know.
Sure. I can imagine. And fine motor to hold drumsticks and stuff.
Well, then you can hold your fork.
Right. It is, you know, now that you're saying it, really is quite amazing when you think about the therapy. I don't know who thought of this, but I mean, really looking at every little aspect of it is huge. It really is. So, yeah. And you think about all the different things, whether it be keys or, you know, you are connecting everything at that point, from brain, fingers, you know, voice, everything.
So. Yeah, I mean, we try. And again, you know, I worked very closely when I was working in facilities with physical therapy, right? Because I'm not a physical therapist. I'm the music therapist. So I can only relate, you know, from the standpoint of a music therapist.
Right.
But I have learned a tremendous amount from my friends in PT and medical directors that were always answering my million questions as to why we have to do things a certain way. And, you know,
right.
So I've learned an incredible amount, you know, from working in places like this. And, you know, the more I learn, the better I'm able to help all my people. So I'm in someone's home, you know, trying to figure out how best to deal. And a lot of times we're dealing with depression too. And I've had people, one lady, this was not in her home, but it was in assisted living, and she came to me. She was my singing buddy. Every day I'd see her come by my office, and, you know, she would come and, what you doing? And 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 she could harmonize. She was in a barbershop quartet with her husband.
Oh, wow.
And she could automatically harmonize. So it was really great. We'd put on concerts for everybody. And she said to me, she's like, you know, you're the reason I get up every day. I get up every day to come and sing with you.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
It was really.
Well, I have to say, you know, not that we see in our communities people who are, you know, going to different residents or going to different events. And I've not looked at them and I won't look at them the same way ever again. Because not that I've ever thought any less, I just didn't put all the pieces together until we talked today. It's just really amazing. And I don't know, you know, how long music therapy has been. I'm sure it's been around for a very long time. And I don't know when they first started board certifying people, but this has been a really eye-opener for me. So I hope it is for other listeners out there too, that this is, you know, to call this woman if you've got a need. It sounds like, you know, it's another alternative to sometimes medication and all the other things that we do.
You can help. Music therapy can definitely help with depression and just making people feel a little bit better. You know, it's not a cure. We can't cure anything, you know, but it definitely helps frame your day, you know, and put you in a nice positive mood.
Sure.
You know, we're always aiming to help people and support the families.
So if you had a tidbit, if you will, if you had one little thing that you could tell all of us out there to, you know, think of something that is typically works with people, what would that be?
You know, it really depends. You know, music listening, while not music therapy, right? So there's a difference between music therapy and therapeutic music, right? So there's a time and place for entertainment. There's a time and place for music listening, you know. Mm-hmm. But to go with what you feel like, you know what I mean? Like if you are tired and, you know, putting on something fast and upbeat may not be the thing to do if you're going to go to bed.
Right.
You know, so go with what you feel.
That's really good. That is really awesome. Well, we have just about a minute left, and I want to make sure again that people can get a hold of you. So I want you to tell your name, the name of your company, and your email, your website, and your phone number.
Okay. So my name is Rafael Scamato, and I am from Nostalgic Notes. My website is nostalgicnotesllc.com. Or you can call me at 203-512-2988.
This has been wonderful and enlightening, and I'm going to go listen to some music and think about Rafael. We'll see you next time on The Good Living Show with Michelle Thomas.